Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
So, I have to keep this very general, but have to share. Long post and first-time poster, so please be kind. Also, please keep in mind that I was 22 years old, and not even out of grad school when all of this went down. I'm a therapist, and while I was in grad school, I began an internship that provided group and individual counseling to a halfway house. This halfway house was run by a church and their well-meaning congregation, but was a bit of a mess. After several months of working with them, I got a phone call from the house parent that said none of the residents were willing to attend group sessions if their new housemate would be involved. The house parent made some comments about typical house drama, so I wasn't too worried about it and just told them to go ahead and bring the residents to the clinic, and I would work with the new housemate privately to figure out what was going on. I met with the new housemate first, and they seemed a bit reserved and untrusting, but nice. When I asked about issues in the house, they gave a small, curved smile and raspy chuckle or scoff. I pushed them a bit further, but all they would say was that the others were scared. We ended our session agreeing to meet weekly. I had the group session next, new housemate not included, to get a feel with what was going on from the others. When I walked in, I could tell there was something seriously wrong. Their faces looked terrified, their general appearances were disheveled, and they were all looking anxiously around at each other. I asked what was going on, and no one answered. They asked me what I thought of the new housemate, and I redirected back to them. The anxious eye contact continued. I asked again and reminded them that change and growth couldn't occur without honesty. Finally, one of them started talking. Here is the story from that perspective. We were told that we were getting a new housemate that we weren't supposed to have much interaction with, and that they wouldn't be there long. No one would give us any info about why the new housemate would be getting the only private bedroom or why they wouldn't be participating in classes or group activities. They just told us to leave them be. This went on for 2 weeks, then they started letting the new housemate hang out and participate in things. They would make some strange comments that would make us uncomfortable, but we would just ignore them. They wouldn't sleep. They would always leave their bedroom after they thought everyone was asleep, go into our rooms and check to see if we were actually asleep by holding their finger under our nose. Then they would leave and walk through the backwoods. They would always be back in the morning, and we would tell the house parent, but would be told to be quiet and not talk about this with anyone. One night after dinner, we turned on the ID channel and new housemate was watching with us. A few minutes into the episode, they got up and walked into the woods, usually did this super late at night. A few minutes later, we heard it. Their name in the episode. We couldn't be sure, so we went to the computer and checked and saw that they had tortured and murdered several women. There's more details to the story that I can't share, but needless to say, my new client was a convicted serial killer that has assaulted, tortured, and murdered at least 3 women in our area. This person was being let out on a technicality that affected several of the murders they were charged with, so got released early on the condition that they lived under supervision. This particular halfway house was being paid to hold this person until a more appropriate structure was in place. After I had done my own research and confirmed, I went to my supervisor and professor, and the contract with that particular church and halfway house was terminated. Icing on the cake. The next year of my life was absolute hell as I was stalked, my home invaded, my dogs injured, my house and car vandalized, and survival items that didn't belong to me were found in my attic that made it look like someone had been living there. I would come home and the house would look different than the way I left it. The police came to my house over a dozen times through that year and did nothing, so my family hired a security team and installed cameras. 6 months later, a perpetrator was arrested on my property, and eyewitnesses and evidence linked him to the crimes. Perpetrator had been out of prison for just over a year on assault and kidnapping charges. Guess who was from the same small hometown as the man arrested? My client. Edit. Here are some answers to a lot of the questions. This incident was over 10 years ago, and stalker is still in jail. I had just bought the house the week prior to all of this starting, so couldn't move somewhere else, no money. Several friends offered to let me stay with them, but police and psychiatrist believed that the stalker would follow me because he was already fixated on me. I have no idea if that's how it works, but I listened then. My brother, dad, and several friends rotated staying with me for several weeks. There was no evidence of a connection between the stalker and serial killer, but my brain sometimes begs me not to believe that. I lived in that house alone for another 3 years, then got married and lived there for 2 years with my husband. I never felt at rest in that home. Obviously, we are in a new home now, and with the help of lots of dogs, cameras, home security, and a great therapist, I am doing great, though I have severe night terrors from PTSD. The reason I was told that they weren't stopping serial killer from walking was because they were about to be transferred and the house didn't want any big scenes or drama when the person was going to leave. Whatever. In terms of who this person is, I left out or changed up a bit 2 major details that would be easily Googled to find out who they are. Happy hunting. This happened about a decade ago when I was 19. At the time, I rented an apartment in a West Side neighborhood of Chicago with my sister, who was a year older than me. We both worked hospitality jobs in the city, and we both had pretty robust social lives, so it was fairly typical for one or both of us to get home at weird hours or be out all night. I'd take the pink line to and from work. At this point in my life, I was pretty used to being catcalled walking down the street. I'd been flashed on public transportation a few times. Men would bump into me from behind on packed trains, basically the usual amount of sexual harassment for a young woman living in the city. Not much fazed me. Of course it was uncomfortable, but I was never truly terrified until one night. That night, I was coming home from work well after midnight. The train car I was in had been empty for most of the ride. One stop before mine, a man gets on and sits down in my car. Reflexively, I looked up as this new passenger entered the car. We made eye contact. Immediately, I felt the hairs stand up on the back of my neck. I knew I'd made a mistake, that this might be interpreted as some sort of invitation. I quickly looked away, but felt him watching me as the train pulled away from the station. Since my stop was only one stop away, I decided to wait until the last second to stand up and exit the car, just in case he tried to follow me. Well, he did. He hung back about 30 feet at first, but I felt the gap between us closing and his footsteps were getting louder. Then I hear him trying to catch my attention, saying, "Hey." He catches up to me and starts speaking to me like any other man trying to chat me up would. I still couldn't shake the feeling of genuine fear I'd had since first locking eyes with him in the train car. He asks where I'm headed, and I told him I was going home. He asked if there was anyone waiting up for me this late. I told him my boyfriend was. In reality, I knew my sister was working a night shift, and I was going home to an empty apartment. Then he pulled his shirt to the side, exposing a gun in his waistband. In a joking tone, he said he'd fight my boyfriend for me. I laughed along and just kept walking. We were walking down Cermak, which is a pretty busy street, even that late at night. I knew I couldn't let him follow me to my apartment, so when I came to the cross street where I should have turned, I just kept going straight. Eventually, I had walked far enough that I passed the stop where he had originally got on the train. He walked alongside me for a while, then dropped back and followed me for a while, and eventually stopped. I thought I would be relieved once I'd shaken him, but as soon as I couldn't see him anymore, my fear only heightened. I still had to double back to my apartment somehow, and the trains had stopped running at 2 a.m. I figured he knew I'd walked too far and would have to turn around, so I thought it was possible he was posted up somewhere on Cermak waiting for me. I turned off and walked a few blocks north, and then started my 1 mile walk back west toward my apartment. The walk back was excruciating. Since I was now off the main road, it was much darker, and there was absolutely nobody around. I kept telling myself I had to get home safe for my sister, because she'd never be able to live with herself if something happened to me. I kept putting one foot in front of the other, and when I finally made it into my apartment and locked the door behind me, I collapsed in a puddle of tears. 10 years later on, I've never felt fear again like I did that night. To this day, I've never told my sister about it. So this happened about a year ago at this point. One of my friends plays shows downtown Somi Female, and some other friends went out to support. Ended up being a pretty late show, and we all live in different areas, so I ended up busing home alone or 2 a.m. There were a bunch of other people on the bus, and nothing seemed out of the ordinary. I got a text from one of my parents when I was on the bus. They offered to go and pick me up for my stop when I got there, since they were still awake, and since it was so late. I was really happy about this and took them up on that offer, since I'm always worried when I end up coming home late. When we approached my stop, I was happy because I could see my parents' car in the distance, and I was honestly happy that I would be home soon. As I approached the door to be ready to get off the bus, I noticed that about 5 guys out of the people on the bus went to either the front or back door where I was to get off as well. At this point, I became a bit nervous, but also knew I could see my parents' car in the distance. When we reached the stop, I got off the bus and started walking straight forward, in the direction of where my parents' car was. I noticed that the guys who were behind me at the back door were following me, one of them going further out towards the right. The other guys who had been at the front of the bus were slowly moving in from the left side. It became extremely apparent that they were trying to circle me. I began walking faster to reach the car and quickly got in, one of the guys being pretty much right behind me at this point. Even after I got in, the guys were looking into the car to see who else was in it as they passed by. After this, they all completely changed direction and walked away from the car. The thing that disturbed me the most was that as they were walking off afterwards, one of the guys shook his fist to his friend like he was disappointed, and they all started laughing. So to the group of guys that clearly had something planned, I hope we never meet again. I live in my parents' home, as I am at the end of my senior year. This probably isn't as intense as other stories, but it certainly had me freaked out. This story happened about 4 days ago. My family lives on a farm, so we have a large amount of land, and we're straight off a state road with a horseshoe-shaped driveway. We had a dump trailer that sits in our yard, just because we don't have anywhere else to put it. Due to this whole self-quarantine thing, I'm home with my younger brother. I hear honking outside, and out the window, I can just see a white vehicle. And I'm sitting there, and the vehicle is just honking as if they were waiting for someone to come out. This made me very uncomfortable, the fact someone decided to sit there and honk, and didn't want to go and even look for fear of possibly being seen. But of course, younger siblings being as they are, was quite oblivious to how creepy this actually was and decided to walk up to the door in plain sight of the strangers in the vehicle. Me, not feeling safe with just sitting there and letting my brother talk to strangers who were sitting in the driveway, finally got up to talk to them. I was very uncomfortable with it all, not in a way that was I don't want to get sick and more of a there is a stranger who is honking at my door. In some hindsight, you could say this might have been about the whole virus in some regards, but other factors do play in. There were two men in this white truck, and the one who spoke to me was in the passenger's seat. The driver seemed quite nervous. Every time I refused to give any information, he ended up starting the vehicle and his friend had to keep insisting to keep talking, which led to him in this cycle of turning his truck on and off again. The first thing I take note of is this guy had a very heavy accent, which I still can't pin. The best guesstimation I have is something European. He's asking about the dump trailer in my yard, if it's for sale, which I say no, it is not. He asks if someone else is home that he could talk to. I didn't hear exactly who he wanted since his friend had turned the engine on again. My best guess is either a husband or my father, as he kept talking about tell him, have him call. Well, I'm not married and my father was at work, so I said no. And if he really wanted to see someone, he'd have to come back at a later time. Then he insisted on giving his number. Still refusing to leave the vehicle while I was saying no. There's no point in getting his number, the trailer isn't for sale, and anyone else in my household would echo the exact same thing. But he insists I get a paper or something to write down his number. He has me come close to write down this number where I notice the next thing, his number. His area code was a Massachusetts number. We were in Pennsylvania. Now, he has me get close, right up to the window, which completely throws the whole distance thing out. They just didn't want to get out of the vehicle, which is what really made me uncomfortable. I was too afraid to go back into my house. I didn't truly want to irritate these people and turn my back by refusing. So I just followed what they asked to get them the hell out of my driveway ASAP. I told my parents all this once they had gotten home, gave them the number which they didn't call because it all seemed too suspicious. My dad decided to pull out a gun for me to keep nearby just in case someone broke in because of this encounter. As my father said when I told him why they said they stopped, if that trailer was for sale, there would be a for sale sign. Female. Today I was freaked out on my walk home. I live not too far from my favorite coffee bean, and I really wanted to go since I had finished school already. I'm going to community college and still take the bus everywhere. But since this coffee place was right near my house, I decided to walk like I usually do. It was around 2 p.m. when I got there and everything was normal. It wasn't until my walk back that I felt uncomfortable. I live probably half a mile away, and when I crossed the street leading to my block, I saw a man with red hair box dyed bright red who seemed young-ish, but had growing stubble and looked older than me. He had a drawstring bag and was walking opposite to me on the crosswalk. While I was passing, he asked me if I had cigarettes, and I said no, and continued walking. I figured it was just some random guy who couldn't afford cigarettes, considering there was a smoke shop about half a block away. As I kept walking, not more than probably 20 steps into the next block, I hear a very fast walking behind me, and immediately I assume it's someone on a run or something and move to the side. but it's this same man. I guess he walked the opposite way of where he was originally headed just to talk to me because he started saying something and I didn't understand him. I looked up and suddenly he was asking if he could use my phone. He told me he was a college student and needed to call his mom. He then asked if I go to school here and I said, "What school?" And he just said, "The college near here." I could tell something was up and was scared he was even talking to me in the first place since it was an empty neighborhood and I am a young-looking girl by myself. I lied and told him no. Just for reference, the college I went to and nearest to my location was a mile away, and I felt weird that he didn't even name the school. I didn't want to be talking to him, but I was just trying to walk away and I guess I was nervous. He then asked to use my phone again, and I was so nervous. I stood there for a few seconds contemplating what to do, and I don't know why I just said okay. I was half expecting him to run off with it or something, but he dialed a number and held it to his ear. He didn't say hello or tell anyone it was him. He just said, "Okay, bye," and hung up. Then he handed my phone back and I told him I was leaving now, but he told me she said she'd call him back. Why would his mom say that if they barely spoke for 1 second and he never even introduced himself? I said there was a restaurant down the street and he should ask for their phone instead, and he just replied with, "Oh yeah." Next, I started walking to my house. Mind you, we were on the corner of my block already. He started walking the same way. He asked if I lived here and I said no, and that I was waiting for a friend. And then he asked if I was walking that direction, the one I was already headed toward, and he followed behind me probably 10 feet. I ignored him, and he asked if I had a boyfriend, and I told him yes. And it was true, but mostly I said it for him to leave me alone. I know it was stupid, but I didn't go around the block or anything because he was walking pretty fast, and I didn't want him to talk to me. It's a pretty empty neighborhood during the day. When he was around 20 feet behind me, I decided to not go around the block and just go inside. I guess I just felt so weird, and I didn't have a car or anything, so I couldn't just wait there. I pretended someone was talking to me on the phone and grabbed my keys out of my bag. I walked so fast to my house and unlocked my door and closed it. Within a minute of me locking it, knowing he was still behind me and hearing his footsteps, the doorbell rang. I was so scared because I was home alone. This has never happened to me before in my neighborhood. I decided to look at the call log of my phone and found the number. The person never picked up, of course. It just said call canceled. I blocked it in case he called himself or something, but I just felt so scared. Just thinking about how his footsteps got louder and faster each time I went in front of him made me freaked out. So I, 24 male, have lived on my own for about 2 years now. I have a very small bungalow I'm able to pretty comfortably afford. In this bungalow I have an attic area, at a guess I'd say it's about 5 by 5 meters in size, and you can only really stand in there in the very center. Anyway, I work the night shift at a factory. I basically just sit on my phone all night, so I usually get in at around about 8 a.m. I was coming home last Thursday during a heavy storm, and I got into the house and just went to sleep. When I woke up, I went on my phone and saw that I was so tired that I didn't check my notifications. I have a Ring camera outside my door which shows me anyone who would have come to my room. I saw that it had been tripped at 7:42 a.m. I got into the house at around 8:10:15 a.m. I checked the video and saw that it was a man. He was pressed right up to the door and was fumbling around with the handle. He did this for about 10 seconds until he spotted the camera. Once he did, he very quickly scuttled away. This unsettled me, but didn't entirely creep me out or anything. I got up to go make some food and discovered something in my kitchen. My back window was open. I, of course, instantly began having the thoughts of a home intruder, but slowly chilled out as I convinced myself I had left it open. The rest of the day consisted of this, just noticing small things that didn't seem right and scaring myself. All up until a point, I leave for the shift at 10 p.m., and I was watching some TV at 9 o'clock-ish. I spotted something that made my heart leap into my throat. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see it. My attic entrance was slowly being slid open. I can so vividly remember that I began questioning my sanity. Surely I was just hallucinating or something. I looked over at it and absolutely saw something that made me so much more scared. I saw fingers wrap around the hatch and begin moving it more. I didn't know what to do. I could feel the panic beginning to really get to me, and I wasn't sure if I should leave the house and call the police or if I should try and yell at whoever was up there. I chose a mixture of both. I began dialing 999 and ran to my bedroom where I could lock the door. As soon as I began running, I heard the hatch get almost teared off with the speed they moved it, and I arrived at my bedroom door. I looked down the corridor and watched for a second, seeing only a little slice of the blackness up in my attic, and I saw the human hands.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Want truly hydrated skin? Meet Osea's body care breakthrough, Hyaluronic Body Serum. It's clinically proven to increase hydration by 161%. It's lightweight, fast-absorbing, and delivers 24 hours of hydration for silky smooth skin without any sticky afterfeel. Treat your skin to clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order with code SUMMER at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code SUMMER.
Still holding on to the sides of my ceiling, I yelled, "Whoever is there, I am calling the police and I have a gun. I do not own a gun. If you take a step out of there, I will shoot you." The adrenaline was really making my hands and voice shake, but I tried sounding as tough as I could. Then I saw something that I truly do not think I will ever forget. The hands slipped back into the dark, and then he dropped down. I slammed my door shut and locked it as quickly as I could. The call went through and I was able to get on a line with the police, and they dispatched officers to my house. I told them I didn't know if the man was armed or not, and the dispatcher told me to stay on the line. I heard the man walking up to my door and rattling the door handle. He also seemingly went through my cupboards in my kitchen, as I heard a lot of commotion there. Truth be told, I don't know why he stayed. I would have just left the house, but he stayed right up until the police came in and arrested him. Apparently, he was a homeless man and was armed with a knife from my kitchen and had recently been seen in the area trying to get into other houses. Truth be told, I'm very frightened to sleep still. I now sleep with my bedroom door locked and all my windows closed. I also sleep with a knife under my pillow. I know that this is unlikely to ever happen again, but I just cannot forget the way he dropped down from my attic. So that's the story of the scariest thing that's ever happened to me. I made this account to tell it because I feel like if I write it down like this, it will feel less like a real thing and more like just a story. Yes, you can use this story. No need to credit me. Every day for like 2 or 3 years, I have received DMs asking for permission. Yes, you can. I don't care for what. You can use it. You know, it was all pretty messy from the start, as my dad used to buy old houses, fix them with his friends, and then sell them for more money. So when I was younger, I moved to different houses and schools about 20 times at least. That's what it felt like. We kept moving from town to town and village to village because my dad was always looking for houses to fix and sell. His friends, who were good at building, would come over every morning. Sometimes we had to live in the houses even if they were in bad shape. There's one house that I still remember, even though it's been 20 years. Back then, houses only cost around $100,000, and some were even as cheap as $70,000. Nowadays, you can't really find anything that cheap, maybe just a small building. But back then, I remember my dad buying properties for as little as $60,000 because they were in really bad shape. They needed a lot of work, but my dad and his team were skilled, so it wasn't a problem for him. The story I want to tell you today is about a place that brought something very scary to my whole family, and I still think about it almost every night in my dreams. It was an old school building that had been left empty for a long time. It was used as a school from 1910 to 1940, and then it was just left alone for another 40 to 50 years, So you can imagine the inside was a complete mess. Inside the building, there were old school things like equipment, desks, chairs, you name it. But what mattered most was that my dad saw potential in this place. I was about 8 years old then, and I didn't know much about property, but my dad was already trying to teach me. He would take me from room to room, and he was always really happy and excited about these new projects. As a family, we were doing okay, but it wasn't simple like I mentioned. Changing schools almost every year and moving homes wasn't easy for me or my mom. I was the only child at that time, and even though my parents did eventually have my younger sister, it was after all of this happened. The place we were in now was the old school building that my dad had us stay in at night. As I remember, this old school was at the edge of a town, so there was mostly just nature around it, fields and forests. During the night, everything would get really dark around the building. Inside, there wasn't much light because most of the electricity had to be fixed by Steve, my friend's dad. It took him about 2 full days to finally make proper lights work in 2 rooms. Those 2 rooms were the kitchen and the bedroom. At the beginning, our whole family slept in the same room. I felt really uncomfortable about everything, and for the first 2 nights, I could hardly sleep at all. I kept feeling like I heard sounds, and even though my parents were right next to me, I was still really scared. The school itself was pretty small, with only about 10 rooms in total. It used to be a village school, so it had bathrooms that anyone could use, a kitchen for the community, and around 7 or 8 classrooms. We were sleeping in one of those classrooms. My dad was sure that he could either make these rooms into places to rent or make a bigger house to sell. Things were okay, or at least not too bad, and yes, I was scared, but having my mom and dad close helped me. But as time went on, I started to sleep better. By the 3rd night, I got better at my schoolwork, and I began to feel more relaxed in the area around the school. Though nights were still scary, don't get me wrong, as the whole building was old. It was made from old-style bricks and had a pointy triangle shape on top. The way the building looked showed that it was from a long time ago. The doors were all made from old wood and had old-style locks on them. The windows were big and had one piece of glass in them, and the frames were mostly made of wood. By the 4th night of staying there, things had improved a lot, but everything took a turn for the worst around 2 weeks and when my dad started waking up at night coughing really hard and aggressively. I didn't know what was happening, but at first, my mom told me that they thought my dad had a flu or a cold. This went on for a whole week until it got really bad. My dad started coughing up blood. He tried to hide it, but it got so bad that I saw traces of blood in the sink when I went to the bathroom. Every night after that, he would wake up choking and coughing, and there was fluid and blood coming out. It was really gross and scary for an 8-year-old like me. Just when we thought my dad might have some kind of cancer and was really sick, we made a doctor's appointment, but we had to wait for a whole week to see the doctor, which felt like a really long time. Around the 2nd week, my mom starts having the same problem. First, my dad would wake up choking and have these episodes. They usually lasted about 10 to 15 minutes. Then he would come back to bed, but he'd be wheezing and struggling to breathe. He worked really hard every day, all day, without any weekends off. My mom and I would be the ones going out to have fun at the park or go for walks and bike rides. We thought it might be because of the stress he was under, but my mom believed that he might have some kind of illness, and we all feared it might be the cancer. However, when my mom started choking too and waking up at different times of the night, she too began coughing up blood. For me, it was like a really bad dream. Both of my parents now had this invisible sickness, and I had no idea what was causing it. Mom and Dad didn't get better. They kept waking up every night coughing and choking with blood, and now it was happening to both of them at the same time. But we never knew what was going on. Finally, when Dad's doctor appointment happened, the doctors also told us they didn't know what it was, but they thought it might be some kind of bronchitis and inflammation in his breathing tubes. They said his airways were swollen and looked like they had been attacked by a virus. They gave him pills and antibiotics and sent him home. He tried to rest for days, but nothing made him feel better. It was tough to make him rest because he didn't want to, and honestly, with all the noise from the construction work happening nearby, resting was really hard. My dad's condition didn't improve, and the same went for my mom. Her doctor said the same thing. He thought it might be bronchitis or a kind of inflammation sickness. I was hoping I wouldn't catch it, but I didn't know if it could spread. But after about a month, I started having the same problems as them. That's when we understood that something serious was going on here. We never thought to check the property itself, not even once. There was a part my dad hadn't looked at, and that was the basement beneath the school. He didn't even know there were basements under the school. It was actually Steve, the electrician, who found this out. He noticed some wires hanging under the floor and followed them, which led him to an underground door. The door was at the back of the property in the yard, but it was hidden behind some brick walls. I don't know why it was like that, and it was really creepy as hell. Finally, after they broke through the brick wall and opened the door, they went downstairs and found a basement that was filled with dangerous black mold. The mold spores were spreading all over the school. Somehow the workers weren't affected, but when we slept there at night, we got sick from the black mold. That's why my dad and mom were having a hard time breathing, and I started having the same problem. We were really scared and worried, but eventually, we figured out the reason. So, we left right away and started staying at a hotel every night. Our symptoms got a lot better in about 4 days. After that, a team was called to clean up the basement. Once all the mold was gone and our symptoms were gone too, we moved back in. This was really serious and could have been life-threatening, but the good thing is that the symptoms didn't come back. Once they completely cleaned the basement, my dad went for a doctor's checkup and told the doctor that we had found mold in the basement. The doctor was really surprised. He looked shocked and his eyes got big. He said that our symptoms were so bad that if it wasn't for finding the mold and knowing what it was, things could have been much worse. He said that mold toxicity can be really dangerous. If we hadn't figured out where the mold was, it could have caused very serious illnesses, things that could even change our lives. The toxicity from the mold can even attack your nervous system and make parts of it stop working. It's hard to believe that I was so close to getting really sick because of something we didn't even know about. It still scares me, and now I worry about my health and get anxious about mold whenever I move to a new house. I search all over, especially in the dark corners, because that's where mold likes to grow. But it needs water to survive. We learned that there were leaks under the building we were in, and when it rained, the water was giving the mold the moisture it needed to live. This moisture was like its food, and then it would use it to make us sick and spread its tiny parts into our bodies. When I was a kid, my family was really close to the neighbors across the street. I was outside playing with the daughter when my parents told us they were going to run to the store for a bit. We asked them if we could stay at my house. I had a cool Barbie dream house since her parents were home right across the street. My parents said yes and made sure to tell hers to keep an eye out. Once we were inside, we were thrilled to have the house to ourselves. Just like big kids, we made ourselves some lunch and watched cartoons for a bit. Then there was a sudden knock at the door and the fun began. Due to the urgency of the knock, I hopped up and ran for the door, thinking it was my parents who forgot something. After looking through the side window, I saw what looked like my friend's brother. I flung the door open, only to find a man who was not my friend's dorky 6-feet-tall brother. The man looked jumpy and told me he needed me to come outside because he had just hit my parents' car. I immediately panicked and asked which one. He took a few steps back to look at the driveway and said, "The red one. My mom's prized BMW. Now, don't judge me too harshly. I was maybe 9 or 10, and someone had told me they had ruined the car my mom loved just as much, if not more, than us kids. I blurted out that my parents weren't home, and he told me he still needed me to come out to see the damages. Obviously, a 9-year-old can't assess the damages to a 1990s convertible BMW. I looked back at my friend, and while we chatted, he reached out to open the screen door. It was locked, but it was one of those flimsy plastic ones that could have easily been yanked open. It wasn't until then that my alarm bells went off. I told him I had to call my mom. He started to protest, but I slammed the door shut and immediately called my friend's mom. Thankfully, she's a pretty intimidating lady, and she marched right over before we could even finish explaining what was happening. The man was obviously startled by someone arriving so quickly. When she demanded to know why he was at my door, he stammered something about selling magazines. Obviously, he didn't have anything with him, so she told him to get lost or she was calling the cops. It was at this point I looked out and noticed a car pull up, and he quickly went to hop in. I think we all realized at the same time that someone had been waiting for him in a car at the top of my street. My friend's mom turned ghost white with recognition, then immediately red with anger. Let's just say we weren't allowed to be home alone for a long time after that. When I was 8, I was home alone. I was sitting in my room on my bed watching Bewitched reruns. This was about 1988. I started hearing noises coming from my mom and her boyfriend's bathroom, which was attached to their room. After about 10 minutes of noise, I saw a shadow walk past my bedroom door. Tall man, cowboy boots, jeans, and cowboy hat. The only light on was in my room, so the hallway was dark. He went into the kitchen for what felt like forever, making tons of noise. Then he went back to my parents' bedroom. After a very long time of sitting on my bed scared out of my mind, I went to the kitchen, turning on every light on the way. Every door and drawer in the kitchen was open. I called the cops. They eventually found my mom. Turns out our apartment had an attic that attached to the roof and outside. My mom's boyfriend was dealing drugs at the time. I didn't know, and I think that's what the guy was looking for. He had to know I was there, and you could see me on my bed if you were in the hall and I had the light and the TV on. He never even looked at me. I was working at my desk in our tiny home office and was super focused on some spreadsheets when I sensed someone was in the room with me. I assumed it was my husband and turned away from my laptop and froze to see that my face was inches away from a torso or crotch of a man standing extremely close to me. The body and clothes did not fit my husband in any way. I remember a polo tucked in, khakis, and they had a bit of a gut. I violently jerked my head back, let out a weird strangled shout, and jumped up so fast it made my chair flip over. The crashing sound made me glance away for a split second, and when I looked back, nothing was there. I called my husband in full panic to confirm he was at work and checked every corner of the house. I found nothing. I was sitting in the living room of my grandmother's house, which has a huge picture window overlooking a river and small gorge. I was there alone watching things while my grandmother was away. A big storm came over the mountain on the riverside of the house. Pouring rain, gusting wind, and absolutely radical lightning and thunder. It was amazing, so I was sitting and watching it through the window. All of a sudden lightning struck, came through the window, and hit the floor in the middle of the living room. I felt the current run up through my legs and jumped up off the couch shrieking while every light in that half of the house blew out. I ran into the bathroom where there are no windows and sat on the floor for like half an hour while the storm blew over. It was terrifying but kind of awesome. I was 9 years old, walked home from school on a Wednesday. It was only two streets from where we lived, so I was always going by myself, and it were different times back then. When I got home, my mom was out grocery shopping, and my dad was at work, nothing unusual. I grab a chair and sit myself directly in front of the TV watching cartoons. All of a sudden, I start smelling something funny. I go upstairs, and the whole roof was filled with black smoke. I peek into my sister's bedroom, and I see fire on the left corner. This is where my sister's desk was. I panicked and grabbed empty soap bottle from the bathroom and tried to fill it with water to throw on the fire. But luckily, I just couldn't get the water into the bottle for some reason. So I changed my mind and run downstairs to the landline and call the emergency number. Told them my house was on fire and the address. I hang up, grabbed our four dogs. A neighbor showed up at this point and we ran out with the dogs. Firefighters showed up within 5 minutes. 40 minutes later, the fire was under control. Later, it turned out that it was an electrical fire caused by a stereo system in my sister's bedroom. so the sudden inability to fill a bottle with water saved my life. I wasn't alone, but my family were all asleep at the time. I woke up at around 1 a.m. to my cat laying at the foot of my bed swatting at my feet. Curious as to what he was doing, I grabbed my glasses to see. There was a laser pointer darting quickly back and forth on my feet. I turned on my bedside light, and it stopped. The strange part is, I had blackout curtains that were completely closed, and my door was shut tight. I went out into the hall, and nobody was there. Didn't hear any footsteps, just my dad snoring in the next room over. Still can't explain it. I lived in an old house growing up, and my parents were almost never home when I got there. Sitting in the TV room watching SpongeBob or something, and I heard someone coming down the steps right next to where I was sitting. There were 14 steps from top to bottom, but you could only really see the last four or so from where I was sitting. I already had the TV low since I was doing homework, and I heard someone distinctly step down about 10 steps at a normal pace, then stop. I just locked eyes with the wall where the steps ended. After a minute or two, I quietly slipped out the back door behind me and played in the neighborhood until I saw my parents' car come in. They dismissed it when nothing was out of place. There were more. Once I thought I could see a figure taking a step just out of view of a door once when upstairs, when I looked down the hallway it happened again. I very nearly followed it to the master bathroom closet far away from anyone else before I stopped myself. I just convinced myself I didn't see it. And another time I heard someone moving around the house when I was in my room upstairs and no one else was home yet. I barricaded myself and grabbed a bat until I heard someone come home. I never felt comfortable when I was the only one up there, even if there were people in the house. Occasionally, I had dreams about a shadow man chasing me through the upstairs, never downstairs. Most of all, I never ever went in the master bathroom if no one else was upstairs with me. I absolutely loved growing up there and have many precious memories, but something about the upstairs still chills my spine to this day. Walking through the foyer of my home, a week or so after purchasing it, I smelled cologne, not at all faintly. It was very familiar, but not one I wore. Again, walking through the foyer 10 minutes later or so, I smell it again and it hit me. It was the signature cologne, Polo Black, of a very good friend that had passed a couple years prior, the first one of my adult life that affected me. Within a month, I smell another scent in the foyer. I ask my fiancé to walk through and ask if she smells anything. She says she absolutely does. I know for a fact it was my good friend killed by a drunk driver a few months prior. I remember he always had about puff too much on, and it seemed juvenile for a grown man, let alone a father of three and an excellent father and solid dude. It was very Axe or Old Spice-like. Again, about a month goes by and my fiancé notices first. I walk into the foyer to the smell of my grandmother's perfume. At this point, she had passed from cancer around 10 years ago. It's a very common scent for older women, something about diamonds, I believe. The last one hurt. A week after my soon-to-be mother-in-law's unaliving herself, in the exact same spot, I smell her. Something magnolia from Bath and Body Works. Even the slight smell of cigarettes. I tried to discreetly steer my fiancé from the area. But she walked through, breathed deep, and said, "I smell it and I can't deal with it right now." I still get chills thinking about it, and I wonder if we'll ever address it.